This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Picture that super soft t-shirt you love sleeping in. The one that gets softer and softer the more you wear it. Now you can bring that same lived-in softness to your entire bed with Signature Vintage Wash Sheets from Boll & Branch. This all-new collection is even softer than your favorite t-shirt, with a distinctly relaxed look and feel for your best night's sleep. Just like all Boll & Branch bedding, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets start with the highest quality, 100% organic cotton. The lived and feel comes from a small batch washing process, creating a level of softness you've never felt before. And it's not just the feel. Boll & Branch mastered the laid-back aesthetic using a special technique that creates the well-loved look you'll find with vintage jeans. And true to the Boll & Branch hallmark, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets get softer and softer with every wash. Right now, you can get 15% off your first order with promo code ODYSSEY and save on their most relaxing sheets. So head to BollAndBranch.com today. That's B-O-L-L and Branch.com.
What is your mindset for what you're supposed to do going into game six now?
Be better, you know, as a whole collective group. You know, we all know, like I said earlier, what's at stake and what's on the line. So, you know, everybody's going to have to give a little bit more, because what we've done hasn't been enough.
This is BetQL Daily from BetQL.
Now, it hasn't been quite enough yet. Bucks up now in this series 3-2 after a dramatic Game 5 victory. Welcome back, BetQL Daily. Joe Giglio, Chris Rongia today for Joe O. And joining us now to talk NBA Finals is our Odyssey NBA insider, Ryan McDonough. Insider Call is presented by BetQL. Get access to the data and insights the sportsbooks don't want you to see. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. Ryan, just heard Devin Booker there as we came back. Somehow the team has to be better, and it just hasn't been quite enough. But I know before the series, we talked about the Suns being an advantage and the favorites, and they played like it the first two games. How surprised are you, Ryan, at how the Bucks have not just come back in the series, but that really game five, it felt like they took charge in the series late.
Yeah, good morning, guys. Always great to be on with you. And Game 5 was the nightmare scenario for Phoenix for a couple reasons. One, they were at home, so they're still in control of the series with three chances to win two games, two of which would have been at Phoenix if it went seven games. And then it was the first game all series that Giannis, Middleton, and Holiday all played well at the same time. And Phoenix, I thought, actually, you know, it's surprising to say for a team that gave up 123 points in Game 5. If you look at the shot charts, guys, if you look at the advanced numbers, you know, Phoenix defense wasn't as bad as the box score would indicate. Milwaukee just made a bunch of tough shots, especially Middleton and Holiday. So, you know that after subpar performances in Game 3 in Milwaukee, it was Devin Booker. In Game 4 in Milwaukee, it was Chris Paul. And then finally, you know, the worst-case scenario again for the Suns was having all three of Milwaukee's stars firing at all cylinders. The pressure is squarely on Phoenix tonight in Game 6 in Milwaukee. And keep in mind, the Bucks have only lost one game at Fiserv Forum this entire playoff. So the Suns certainly have their work cut out for them tonight.
Turnovers are obviously a problem in this series for Phoenix when they don't do well. The Bucks have scored a lot of points off turnovers. They're winning in that battle. Is it as simple as that? If Phoenix limits the turnovers or limits the amount of points they give up off the turnover, then maybe this series turns?
Well, it could, but it's easier said than done. You know, against this Milwaukee team, they have the best defensive rating in the playoffs. They've had that throughout the playoffs. And keep in mind, they played some pretty darn good offensive teams going back to the Brooklyn Nets. They got a little bit of a break with the Atlanta Hawks with the injury to Trae Young, but then Phoenix is had a lot of offensive firepower as well. And one interesting thing about the turnovers, guys, is I look at total turnovers from Game 5. Milwaukee actually had 12 to Phoenix's 9, but I think about 5 or maybe 6 of Milwaukee's turnovers were in the first 9 minutes of the game. Remember, they came out, they looked flustered on the road. The crowd was going nuts in Phoenix. The Suns were up 32-16. And then I think to some extent Phoenix took their foot off the gas. One thing that I imagine Monty Williams has done an excellent job throughout the playoffs and throughout the season, really, is subbing Ayton out of the game with Giannis still in the game. If you remember, Phoenix was up 32-16, and then Ayton came out. The Bucks went for a quick duck in to Giannis. He got fouled, I think, but by Torrey Craig and Cam Johnson. He kind of wedged in between and got an and one, and Milwaukee started digging out of that hole. So that's one adjustment I expect to see tonight. I think, or hope, Ayton will play every single second that Giannis is on the floor. I think that's Phoenix's best chance to win the game tonight, but again, the Suns have their work cut out for them because Milwaukee has found different ways to win the last three games. And again, the scary part about it was in Game 5, it seemed like the Bucks figured something out as far as a way to get all three of their stars going at the same time.
Yeah, and Ryan, it feels like as this series moves along, the ability for Jrue Holiday to play defense on Chris Paul and fluster him, which is not something we often see. Chris Paul seems frustrated in some moments here. Well, I don't know if it's the physicality of Jrue Holiday, the smarts Jrue Holiday. What are you seeing when you watch that matchup? Because as the series started, Chris Paul, overwhelming favorite to win the MVP of this series. Now that's Giannis. But this is kind of a subplot of this matchup that I don't think we saw coming, where Jrue Holiday could almost neutralize or take Chris Paul out of his element at the point guard position.
Yeah, that's a great point. One of the things I want your listeners to watch for tonight is the pickup point defensively with Jrue Holiday. And what I mean by pickup point is where he starts guarding Chris Paul. It seems to me like he's extended his pressure as the playoffs have gone on, or as this series has gone on, where he's picking Paul up deeper and deeper in the backcourt. There was an excellent article on, I think, by Yahya Dubin on 538 the other day about that, where basically Holiday extends his pressure into the backcourt. It seems like a subtle thing, but that takes energy and effort to get the ball up and get the offense initiated against an elite defender. And then think of it from a mathematical perspective, guys. If the ball gets into the front court slower, you get into your offense slower. Those are fewer passes. Those are fewer ball reversals that Phoenix has to try to stretch and wear out Milwaukee's defense. It's just harder to run good offense. So I think that's something Holiday has done. It seems like, to some extent, he has worn down Chris Paul. Keep in mind, Paul was brilliant in Game 6 against the L.A. Clippers when the Suns closed out the Western Conference Finals. He was terrific in Game 1 of this series. He hasn't been nearly as good since then, and I think the biggest reason for that is Jrue Holiday.
Do you think injuries have anything to do with it? Because we've seen him nursing his hand, so I know this is really just speculation at this point, but do you get the feeling that maybe he's a little more banged up than we realize?
I think so. I wouldn't be surprised if when this series is over, which will be at some point later this week, maybe tomorrow, depending on how the game goes, it comes out that he has a more significant injury than Phoenix let on. And keep in mind, guys, at the end of Game 1, I don't know if you remember the post-game interview with Malika Andrews, that the Suns trainer in that game was working on Paul. He had an assistant trainer, a ball boy, or somebody hold up a towel. It looked like they were trying to disguise what he was doing to Paul's hand. And then Paul, after the game, when asked about it by Malika Andrews, he said, I'm fine, nothing there, no big deal. And it was a very flat, unemotional answer, like don't ask me about that, move on, which leads me to believe there may be something more significantly wrong with his hand or his fingers. And I think to some extent maybe that is impacting his ball control in particular. That's where I've noticed the most slippage from Chris Paul. Against Denver, guys, he was historic in the second round as far as, I think his assist to turnover ratio was like 10 to 1. As you guys know, he's had great command and control of the ball throughout his career. There's a reason he's called the point guard, but but in this series, other than Game 5, he's been looser with the ball. His turnover numbers have been high, and that's something I'm really have my eye on tonight, because he did have 11 assists and only one turnover in Game 5 in Phoenix. But the two games in Milwaukee, Games 3 and 4, were high turnover games for Paul. So I'm watching him tonight to see if the Bucks can speed him up a little bit and get Paul rattled. And if they get turnovers and get out in transition at home, I think that really bodes well for Milwaukee to win tonight's Game 6.
Joining us, Odyssey NBA insider Ryan McDonough. Game 6 tonight, NBA Finals the Bucks try to close it out at home and win the championship. If the Suns win, obviously we have a game seven coming up back in Phoenix. Ryan, the play, you know, in game five to seal the game, the alley-oop, the, you know, Giannis running the floor, boom, the slam and the foul, and that game was cemented there. And then you go back to game four, the block by Giannis on the play where he kind of almost baited the Suns into trying the alley-oop, and then he was able to swat it away in an incredible defensive play. When this series is over, if we assume now the Bucks are going to win, which play is going to stand out more to you and kind of will be remembered as the play where Giannis really changed the series? Game five, the slam to seal a win, or game four, the defensive play?
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
Yeah, for me, it's clearly game five, because here's why. In game four, Phoenix was down two, and there was over a minute left, so that would have tied the game. It would have been, if that lob from Booker to Ayton went through and Ayton dunked the ball before Giannis got there, it's still a tie game with over a minute left. Anything can happen. Late in game five, it's a one-point game. Phoenix had come back from a double-digit deficit in the second half. They have one of the great offensive players in the league, a guy who had 40 points in two consecutive finals games in Devin Booker with the ball in his hands in a live dribble. Keep in mind, guys, Milwaukee's in the penalty as well, so if they foul Booker, you're putting a 90-plus free throw shooter at the line with two shots to put Phoenix ahead and potentially win the game. So with those stakes for Jrue Holiday to have the cojones to leave Chris Paul, who's obviously a very good offensive player, to double Booker and also go for the steal. Again, keep in mind the downside if he fouls and puts Booker on the line. And then when he comes up with a loose ball in transition, not to pull it out and get fouled, which I feel like 99% of NBA players would have done, to continue to push the tempo, throw a very risky lob pass to Giannis. Now, he had a great lob target, guys, but think of the downside there. I mean, if that pass goes out of bounds, it's Phoenix ball coming back down one, again, with the same situation, a chance to win the game. If it hits the backboard of the rim and ricochets out, then you have a live transition opportunity for Chris Paul and the Suns going the other way with a chance to win the game. So Holiday's play, I know Giannis gets the credit, and deservedly so. It was a fantastic finish. But for me, the determining play in the finals, if Milwaukee wins tonight and closes it out, will be Jrue Holiday, the steal and the lob at the end of game five.
Regarding Giannis, and it's amazing that anybody even says this or thinks it, but it is kind of the reality that a two-time MVP already still had more room to grow, and there were things that he could do to get better. Do you think that he has finally realized what his ceiling is, or is there more in the tank there for him?
The scary thing for other NBA teams, the other 29 teams, guys, I do think he has more room for growth because the shooting is not fully unlocked yet. He's made some mid-rangers throughout the playoffs this year, but he's only shooting 18% from the three-point line. He's shooting 55% from the free throw line. So there's room for growth there. I mean, obviously, it's never going to be a strength of his game. I'd be surprised if he's ever even league average in those categories. But if he can get closer to league average, which, from the three-point line is in the mid-30s, from the free throw line, that's in the upper 70s, he'll be unstoppable. And I bring it up, guys, because his career arc in a lot of ways reminded me of LeBron James. A lot of people don't remember remember this now, especially your younger listeners, but LeBron, when he was in Cleveland the first time, really struggled. I was in the Celtics front office at that time, and LeBron was even more athletic than he is now, but really struggled with his jump shot. And in Boston, we felt like if we could wall off the paint, keep him away from the rim in the restricted area, we'd have a chance to beat him. It's not easy because of his greatness, but then when he went to Miami, he refined his shot, he tweaked it, he became a good, not just an average, an above-average three-point shooter, and then it was over, and he was unguardable. So that's what I think the future is for Giannis. If he can become a guy that teams have to respect him out to the three-point line, then there'll be no way to guard him, because think of this, guys. He's even bigger and longer than LeBron is, so if you have to guard him at the three-point line, then, I mean, shoot, if he's averaging 35 points a game in these finals or whatever, he might average 45 if he has a three-point shot.
Ryan, I think a lot of the conversation earlier in the series was, hey, maybe the Suns are here to stay. They could win this title. They're up 2-0. Booker's young, Ayton's young. We discussed it, how that team is built to last, and they still are, and they have a bright future. But what about the other side of this? The Bucks. Some people might look at this as a one-off because it was a weird year, injuries, but their best three players are signed long-term. Giannis is not going anywhere for a few years. Middleton signed long-term. Jrue Holiday signed long-term. Do you think the Bucks could parlay what they're doing right now and kind of be back here in years to come?
Absolutely. Yeah, I don't see any reason they couldn't. Their best players, as you mentioned, Giannis is 26 years old. Chris Middleton is 29 years old, and Jrue Holiday is 31. Those guys are all, you know, under contract for a while. And the other thing that, you know, frankly speaking, that gives them an advantage is they are in the Eastern Conference, and the road to the finals, the path to the finals, well, it's never easy in either conference. It's certainly been easier over the last couple decades to come out of the East than it is to come out of the West. So I think the team's set up very well. I think that continuity they now have with Holiday having played a full season. If you remember, guys, back in December and January, they got off to a little bit of a rocky start. They weren't exactly setting records out of the gate. In fact, the last 2 years, the starts they got off to in the regular season were a lot better than this season, but they seem to have figured it out. And again, that's the concern if I'm on the Phoenix sideline, that you know, Holiday, Middleton, and Giannis are all playing well at the same time. And I don't see any reason that with their contracts and with their age and health that those guys couldn't stay together and be one of the best teams in the league for the next 3 to 5 years.
What would have to happen, and how realistic is it that Paul could be back with his team next year?
That Chris Paul could be back for the Phoenix Suns? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah.
Well, it's a good question because it gets very expensive, and this is how, you know, things change so quickly in the playoffs, guys. And I don't think this is the right way to look at it. But a week ago, I think the sentiment around, you know, Suns fans and the organization is, well, let's give them whatever it takes. Let's pay them. Of course, we're up 2-0 in the finals. Looks like we're going to cruise to a championship. That still may be the case, but he does have a $44.2 million player option, guys. And the real dilemma for Phoenix is it seems like he's going to opt out of that, and then how much money and how many years are you willing to give him? Again, keep in mind he's 36 years old. He's still playing at an extremely high level, but he's not playing, at least the last 4 or 5 games, he's not playing at the level he did in games 6 of the Western Conference Finals and game 1 of this series. So are there mitigating factors like the hand injury that we're discussing, or is this some of the age and wear and tear coming in? So I think they'll re-sign him. I think they should re-sign him. You know, for me, south of $44 million on a longer-term deal, somewhere in the $30-plus million range a year for 3 years makes sense. I wonder if Paul would be okay with that, but I think that's what it's going to take for Phoenix, and my guess is they still do it, just given that I don't know what they do without him. Cameron Payne's also a free agent this summer, but it's going to get expensive, and it's a little bit risky anytime you talk about paying a player at Paul's age, 36 years old, that kind of money over a number of years come forward.
Risky, but he's a tremendous player. What a story in the series tonight, game 6. Bucks 4.5-point favorites. That was Ryan McDonough. He, of course, our Odyssey NBA insider. Insider call is presented by BetQL. BetQL here to help us make all better bets through real proven analytics. Bet smarter, beat the books. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. Lightning bets next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.